Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee. The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We're going to keep this thing rolling, man. It's still draft season. Boy, it seems like this has just been a long process, but hey, you love it. So let it continue to roll on. We got Leonard Taylor, Cincinnati tight end. He was there at the combine. He's a guy that, you know, projects to probably a day three pick, but we'll get him on, talk a little shop there. Speaking of the draft, Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, Chris Sanders, that is. He has his top two, maybe three, we'll see, picks or options for the Titans at number 11. And we're going to talk some Jeffrey Simmons. I'm going to get his take on the emotions that Simmons shared at his press conference on Wednesday. And you know what? That's what we'll start with. I want to just kind of get into that contract. I think it's a really great deal when you talk about being able to stay under $100 million. When you talk about the tacking that on to the fifth-year option, that's 10.75. So here's what we're looking at. It's obviously 10.75 million to be specific and on point. But overall, this deal is a four-year contract extension worth $94 million, $66 million guaranteed. And that is over 70% in guarantees. Really good option for Paul DeRussell of the walking business and Jason Hatcher, and obviously for Jeffrey Simmons. They wanted to have it focused on the guaranteed money. Good option there because you tack on the $10.75 million that he's going to get. Now you're looking at $76 million in guarantees over a four-year period. If Jeffrey Simmons wants to walk away from football in 4 years, he could do that and will have made a chunk of money. Or as he said, be able to support his kids' kids. I think that in itself is wonderful. Let's look at it from a Titans perspective. The number at 10.75 million stays the same this year. Over the next 3 years, you know, you're going to have escalating cap numbers with the guaranteed money. But it's not a bad deal. And it's still friendly for a Titans team that is up against it cap-wise this year, but in great shape the next couple years. Also, this sends a message to the locker room. This lets those guys in the locker room know, hey, you come in, you do the right thing. I don't care what you got going on. When we draft you, we are going to make sure that you are taken care of. And this is a message from Rand Carthon as well, in that he promised Jeff that he was going to be a Titan. A little background, a few days after he got the job, he called Simmons' agent, and there was an offer that came, I'm going to say February 3rd, Pro Bowl. Obviously, it wasn't an offer they were going to take. You never take the first offer. That's rule one in negotiating. But it opened the door for some back and forth. And I think when you look overall, Rand Carthon, the four-year extension, it set a precedent. Because guys who previously, Taylor Lewan was the last first-round pick to sign a contract extension. It was a five-year deal. Kevin Byard was a third-round pick. He signed a five-year deal when it was done. Harold Landry was a second-round pick. He signed a five-year deal when it was done. Also, the Titans typically don't do contracts this early. They wanted to get it done. This, ladies and gentlemen, is something that gives you guys hope because you have a GM that means business. You have a GM that is not afraid to veer away from past habits or anything like that. You now have a first-round pick who has been re-signed and will make a chunk of money. It's the second most in guaranteed money by a interior defensive lineman. But most importantly, you have a guy who is a walking example of what it is this organization wants to have. Don't let me tell you. I'll let Mike Vrabel tell you.
You know, Jeff embodies everything that we want in a Titan. From the time that we drafted him, from the time that we went down and spent time with you at Mississippi State, you know, you answered a lot of questions truthfully, honestly. You're a great example to our community. So thank you. You've earned this. We're going to continue to hold you to a high standard. That'll be the fun part. But certainly embody everything we believe in here as a team captain, a leader in your performance, you know, on the field. So
that's Mike Vrabel, who has been with Simmons here with the Titans throughout his career. It's pretty easy or understandable for a guy who has spent, you know, a good amount of time for, 19, 20, 21, 22, 4 years with someone. But Rand Carthon has only been here for a few months, right? A matter of months. And he already has the same understanding. Listen to what Rand Carthon had to say about Simmons.
There's a model for what you want, you know, a player to be and what you want your organization to look like. And I think Jeff is one of those models, you know, for us. So this was something that was a priority to get done.
So you have it right there, what Rand Carthon said. And it didn't take a long time for him to identify Simmons as that type of player. What is it that makes him the example? Because this is something like I've said frequently. And for me, when I watch it on the field, right, you look at some of the things that he does. He takes it personally to make sure that he hustles on every play. You look at screens to the opposite direction. He's trying to run it down. You look at runs to the opposite direction. He's trying to run it down. Down the field, he's running to make tackles. And you say, oh, well, yeah, that's his job. You don't see a lot of defensive tackles, you know, covering the amount of ground that he covers. And the three-play series that I will just always, always go back to when I talk about why he's the epitome of what the Titans want to be, in addition to the toughness, is the game against the Commanders this past year. Terry McLaurin caught a pass, broke a couple tackles, and he was 17 to 20 yards down the field. Jeffrey Simmons made the tackle. The very next play, Carson Wentz is on. He scrambles to Simmons' right, Wentz's left, and he's trying to turn the corner and just couldn't. Simmons chased him down enough to make him have to run out of bounds. Now, this was after 20 to 25 yards down the field. He tackled a wide receiver. But you know what didn't happen on the next play? You didn't have that helmet tap. He stayed in the game. That is a good example of what he brings to the table. Yeah, we could talk about how he plays with the technique and showcases that and how he is at times unblockable. Those are important things too. But you look on a consistent basis, he's doing exactly what this team wants all of their players to do. Now, the only way that happens is if you take it personally and you understand the job. That's why at his presser, I asked him, well, why is it that you feel Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, and so many others say that you are someone who's an epitome of the organization? Here's what he had to say.
I think it start off with just the way we want to play around here. You know, not just, you know, because we get taught the way that, you know, each and every day we get coached hard. You know, and I think it's not just, it don't come down to the coaches saying it all the time. It's about the players. And I think when you have the players doing it and talking it, I think that's when it's like, all right, this is what they want. And I'd have been around Coach Vrabel. I know the toughness he want on our team. I know the grit he want, and I know the type of effort he want us to play with. And so if I'm not out there doing it, then these other guys are not going to buy into it. So, and that's, I think, where I appreciate Coach Vrabel the most. You know, when I'm not doing it, I get called out. You know, the best players get called out on this team, no matter who it may be. It could be from Derrick down to anybody. So I think that's what simplify, like, what embodying this team, the way guys like myself, that I feel like, you know, a captain on this team, if I'm doing the right thing, if I'm playing the way that we can being coached with technique, fundamental effort, and all them things like that, full tilt. And I take pride in that. So, and then I think it's just off the field, you know. I like to be in the community and things in that nature. I want to inspire the youth. That's one of the biggest things I speak on a lot. So, you know, it's just not about on the field. And I think that's what, you know, we also talk about, you know, how about, you know, what we doing in the community and stuff in that nature.
There you have it right there. It doesn't get much better than that. And I just love the fact that he has a very thorough understanding of what it means to be a leader, what it means to be a walking version of the organization's desires and core concepts, and just how much he wants to exhibit those. So kind of put a bow around it. The Titans, Jeffrey Simmons, he's going to be here for quite some time. It's a great deal, like I said. And you look at, you know, the fact that when this is over and done with, he'll be 30 years old. They'll probably go to the table when he's 29 and get another crack at the a big deal. So great job by all parties, Jason Hatcher, Paul DeRussell of Walking Business, obviously Jeffrey Simmons, Rand Carthon, Vin Marino, Chad Brinker. These guys all came together, and they made it happen. And ladies and gentlemen, you do not have the same degree of heartbreak that you had to go through last year because the deal couldn't get done with A.J. Brown. On that note, we're going to keep this thing moving. Shift gears and go to Leonard Taylor, Cincinnati tight end. We'll be right back.
This is Roger McQuarrie, and I'm talking with TD. Day and night.
I toss and turn, back from the break, talking with TD. We talk a lot of receivers, but, you know, we also have to bring in another position that catches the football, the tight end position. And we're going to go to Cincinnati, bring in my man Leonard Taylor, a tight end from Cincinnati. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing, man?
Hey,
I'm blessed.
That's right. That's right. I'm good, and I'm blessed as well, man. And I appreciate you coming on. We'll start right from the top, because I thought it was interesting how you were a quarterback, an all-district quarterback in Springfield, Ohio, and you played defensive end at the same time, all-conference at that position. How did you manage to have – that's not a usual mix, right? You usually like quarterback safety or something like that, but you played quarterback and defensive end.
Yes, sir, I did. well, I think it really came from my high school football coach, Coach Douglas, where he was like, I don't know, one day he said some stuff like, well, what you put on film, you know what I'm saying, that's what people are going to, like, you know what I'm saying, grade you as, and that's what you know what I'm saying, you have a grade on you, and this is what you're going to be. So whatever you put on film is how they're going to have their opinion of you. So I kind of took that to heart, and I wanted to play everything. And I told Coach Doug that I never played defense before, but he said, shoot, you know what I'm saying, why not, let's see if you play defensive end a little bit. You're big and athletic, so let's try it.
And there it was.
Well, was pretty good at it.
Yeah, all conference, so you must have been. So I know he was a big influence in your you know, your high school career and getting you to go on to college, and that's Coach Maurice Douglas there at Springfield, Ohio High School. What was it that he did for you? Because, you know, you mentioned his name a lot, you know, in some of the things that I see, you know, when you're asked about your career.
He's just that mentor, man, growing up, man. You know what I'm saying? When you don't have a father growing up, he's just that guy that, you know what I'm saying, he helps. And helps provide that advice for a young man that is needing it and can change your life.
Absolutely. And then looking at your high school career, you were also a hooper. Is that, like, was that something that you considered playing it at the next level, or was it always football?
No, it was something I considered, but football was the route.
Gotcha. And we're talking to Leonard Taylor, tight end out of Cincinnati. Leonard, you ended up at Cincinnati. It was interesting.
you know, situation for you because you had access to someone that is considered the best at the tight end position in Travis Kelce. Before we do that, how did you end up at Cincinnati and how did you end up playing tight end?
I ended up playing tight end because I wanted to play offense. And then I ended up, another reason why I ended up at Cincinnati was Marcus Freeman.
Right.
The head coach of Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So he's from Wayne and Springfield, and Wayne are rivals, and he decided to come to school one day and talk to Coach Doug and bring me up, and we kind of hit it off. And I was just like, this is a great option. And then my grandmother could always come see me play every weekend.
Yeah, no, that's what's up. And when you say you wanted to play offense, does that mean that quarterback was just not something in the works, or your quickest ticket to get on the field was tight end?
Yeah. Well, nah, I mean, I wouldn't say quickest to get on the field. It was just more of a, I don't know. I just thought I'd be pretty good at tight end, so I decided to play tight end.
And making that transition from quarterback to tight end, because a lot I've seen that in a few of the tight end prospects I've spoken to. How did you manage to do that? What was critical for you to be able to change positions to that?
Being able to change my mindset and being able to play like a tight end, think like a tight end, and be great like a tight end.
Is that something like the physicality standpoint when you say think like a tight end?
I guess you could say mentally too, mentally and physically too, for real, for real.
Got you.
I mean, it's got to be all in one, if that makes sense.
No, it does, because I mean...
It's got to be in sync. Everything got to be in sync, physically and mentally.
Exactly.
That's how you play. That's how you get it done on the field.
A part of the physicality is run blocking, and that's something that, you know, I know you have solid run blocking skills. Pass pro, too, when that time calls. What's your mindset there in approaching that, and how important is that as you move on to the next level?
That's really, really important, to be honest with you. But, well, hold on. I'm sorry, man. What was the question again? We talking about pass set and how important that is to learn that at the next level?
Right, for you.
Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, for you, just the physicality part of it, because that's something that we mentioned, you know, in the transition from quarterback to tight end. And then with that, you know, embracing the run blocking and being good at that, and then also pass pro.
Yeah, that's really important. That's something I'm going to have to really tune in the next level. You know what I'm saying? Make sure it's in my bag and in part of my playing tools when the time comes. So, yeah, I got some work to do in this offseason, you know what I'm saying, to get ready for that.
So what about Travis Kelce? He's a guy that, you know, went to Cincinnati. I know, you know, he's been an influence for you. What has that experience been like, you know, learning from one of the best ever?
Oh, that's really, really, truly the greatest blessing you could ask for a kid that's coming into the next level. That's probably in one of the next up groups coming in, because you got a lot of old heads in the league. So, you know what I'm saying? It's that new blood coming in, that new wave. So we're going to see, and I'm trying to find me a spot in this league for a couple of years. You feel what I'm saying? So I need to be able to, like, learn, you know what I'm saying? Get every piece I can from him so I'm able to do that.
Yeah. What would you say is the biggest, like the most advantageous thing that he's taught you, maybe with the process, the position?
That will really have to be, man, I guess he would say your rookie, you know what I'm saying, telling me about my rookie year and stuff. That's really your most valuable, you know what I'm saying, year that can really help you be established in this, you know what I'm saying, NFL, because, you know, NFL don't last for long.
Yeah, you set the foundation right away. And we're talking to Leonard Taylor, Cincinnati tight end. Leonard, you spent a lot of time, you and Josh Wiley, you know, in 12 personnel packages together on the field. How much does that opportunity, and, you know, you guys played off of each other, how much does that opportunity, you know, to be experienced in that 12 personnel, how much does that help you as you move on to the next level where you're probably going to do that as well?
Well, it also shows me that as a tight end, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, you get in where you fit in. So if they got another guy that's, you know what I'm saying, what we want to throw the ball to or whatever, that's perfectly fine. That's how it's going to be. So, you know what I'm saying, there's no reason to be selfish. But it also, it's fun, man. You know what I'm saying, you got another brother in the room that you compete with and have fun with and play good football and get dubs. So there's nothing wrong with it at all. I have no problem, and I enjoyed it, you know what I'm saying, these past couple years in Cincinnati.
Yeah, no doubt. And you look at the past couple years, I mean, a couple years ago, you know, you guys were right there in playoff contention and everything. You had the opportunity to come out, but you decided to come back. You have 60 games under your belt at Cincinnati. What was it that made you make the decision to come back in 2022?
I needed to develop some more and just grow up a little bit as a man and get my life skills together and kind of mimic off of what Desmond Ridder and Majay Sanders and Kobe Bryant went and how their year went and what they did for that extra year. And I took advantage of it and I got better and came back and tried to put myself in a better position.
I like that you say that. And it, you mentioned, you know, becoming better as a person. And obviously with that is growth. I know, you know, you were close to your grandmother. How much did, you know, losing her in that time frame, like how much did that, well, first off, like, how did you manage to get through that? Because I, like I said, I know you were close to her.
Man, I really couldn't even explain to you how I got through it, but God, that makes sense, man. He helped me stay on the right path, man. Just, he helped me stay focused, and you know what I'm saying? Football was a really good outlet for me to let my anger out. And I lived with a group of guys at the time, like, you know, so I was able to kind of get off my chest a little bit, yeah, and be able to talk about it a little bit. So there's a few things that help about that, but yeah. R.I.P. to grandma, man.
No doubt.
That's the GOAT.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Here you are about to, you know, take a monumental step in life, right, and go to the next level. What would you, if you were to talk to her, what would you say to her about this, you know, this next step you're about to take?
Really be like, I need you around, Grandma. I need you with me for just because I got real comfortable with Grandma coming around with me everywhere to my football trips and being there with me and support me and stuff. So, and that was just, you know what I'm saying? That was just like my right-hand man who I could really talk to and we could be on the same page. And I would just like for her to be with me every step of the way.
Understood. And then as you continue, as you continue to work through the process, you went to the East-West Shrine a week. How was that experience for you?
That was a blessing, man. I was able to get my feet wet just a little bit and be able to see what it's like in a meeting room with an NFL coach and do some film and learn an NFL playbook and kind of just give me a heads up of like, this is what this is going to be. So, yeah, I think that was a it was a blessed, you know what I'm saying, opportunity.
What about the feedback you got from, you know, the personnel people? How was that for you?
That was good feedback. Good feedback. They said that I had a strong East-West game and strong practices, so I'll take that.
And you were in the East. That's the Falcons staff you were working with?
Yep, it was the Falcons staff, yep.
Got you. So you got to interact with Arthur Smith. He's something, man. That's a really good coach there. As you spin it forward to the combine, that's always an interesting thing for you guys because it's like they do everything they can to make it as like uncomfortable as possible and see how you will thrive in that, right? So tell me about that experience that you had there.
It was a great experience. Man, I was blessed and thankful to be there every day. But it was a great, you know what I'm saying, a great experience actually being there, waking up every morning, going to go talk to teams, having breakfast with other guys from other schools, getting to, you know what I'm saying, make some connects, shake hands, and just be able to, like, I guess, you know what I'm saying, have fun and
compete.
And try and get – and compete, yeah, you feel what I'm saying? And see what kind of teams got what and just, you know what I'm saying, have fun.
What would you say was the most – interesting experience that you had out there?
The medical.
Yeah.
going in there, sitting on a table surrounded by four teams in one circle, and then they all just, a guy comes in and he just talks about you. That had my mind blown. that was crazy, man. I was really just going from like room to room with like six different rooms.
And they're just all and feeling just and the, pulling and then, yeah.
Yeah, and then they just sit there and talk about you. That's it.
It's crazy. And that even, you know, they measure how wide your hands are, your arm length. It's so much that goes into it. So it's funny that you mentioned that. And I know recently, you know, you had your pro day, and that was a big thing, obviously.
Well, I got my I got a private pro day going on April 12th.
Okay, so you you didn't take part in Cincinnati's pro day?
Nope, I went around and I shook hands and just was talking to coach to see how they doing and letting them know what's going on with me. That's it.
Okay. And you said the private one is when? April 12th?
April 12th, yep, at 10 a.m. Nipper Stadium.
There you go, right there, letting them know for sure. And just before I get you out of here, one of the other things, you know, I thought that was pretty cool about you, and it's rolling back to your, you know, the Travis Kelce influence. You said mm-hmm. that a Super Bowl is obviously something that is a goal, but you also mentioned the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. You want to have an impact in the community. Why is that so important for you?
Because where I grow up, in Springfield, Ohio, not a place where people want to go or want to grow up because of the atmosphere Springfield is. It's a trap. If you get into the wrong things as a young man, you will see nothing but Springfield for the rest of your life. So I want to be able to give kids that opportunity of being able to have a chance in this world and being a successful young man. And that's what I'm priding myself on, you know what I'm saying? So I want to be able to help my community and be able to do that for them.
That's what's up. And last thing, Leonard, when a team selects you, what are they getting? Kind of describe your game to the listeners so they could get a better understanding.
Okay. I'm a tight end with a little bit of flavor, you know what I'm saying, in my bag when I'm on the field. So I'm a little versatile, man. I got a little pizzazz in my route running and stuff. I let it get pancakes. You're going to get a physical guy. I'm smart. I like to have fun, do things for the kids also, be able to have them come watch NFL games that's never been to NFL game. Team player, available, accountable, dependable, coachable player, and somebody that's just a good friend to talk to, and you know what I'm saying, when bad times come around.
There you have it right there. Three down player right there, and impact off the field. Sounds like a good package to me. I appreciate you coming on, Leonard, and we'll definitely keep track. Wish you the best at your pro day later this month.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you for the phone call, and I appreciate your time so much, man.
For sure. Take care.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. Run, DMT.
Fresh. Ooh-wee, they're coming. Yeah. So strange.
Oh my goodness.
Step two. Oh, the music fades. The lights dim. Where are we going today? And now, starting at point guard for your Philadelphia 76ers, number 3, Sadel 3.
And now, starting with us all, Caribbean Queen, Billy Ocean. I had to go old school on you, man.
Yeah, me too. You know, Mo Cheeks was injured, so Sadel 3 got the start. Yeah, that's how
Hey, speaking of games, man, did you watch the Los Angeles Lakers come back from that crazy game, man?
Hey, listen, I should have called you Schrader.
Jeez.
Yo, did you see he hit that 3 and turned around and looked at the bench?
Yeah,
you see one dude kind of like push him along. I would have done the same thing. Like, man, I'll get you silly behind about it here, man.
Crazy, man.
Yeah, what? Man.
They should have lost that game. But other than that, how you doing, bro? It's getting closer and closer to time. The draft, big dog. What's cracking?
It's coming.
Yes,
I'm really glad it is, A, because, you know, it's an exhausting process chasing down these darn prospects and getting them on. But, you know, also, I don't have a dog or a horse in a race.
Right.
But it's just so much fun once it finally happens because you're like, okay,
yes,
this is who is the new player that we're going to write about. So
right.
I'm looking forward
right.
to that for sure.
That's, I mean, that's going to be interesting. I mean, I love all the stuff that's going on. And here's what I love about the whole draft, TD, is the storylines behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the Titans are going to do? What is their Colts going to do? What is the Texans are thinking? What is the Panthers thinking? Just the unknowing, the uncertainty of what's going on. But when it comes to fruition, and also, too, man, I love the surprises. You know, you think, because everybody thinks that the first pick that they're going to take, you know, Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. What if they take a defensive player like Will Anderson?
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
You know.
So nobody knows.
That's the beauty of it for sure.
Yes,
one of the other things that I like is the stories, you know, behind these guys. And obviously with Jeffrey Simmons signing his deal, you know, shout out to Jeffrey Simmons.
Absolutely.
Shout out to his uncle, Jason Hatcher, his agent, Paul DeRussell, who I had to give him credit, man. Like, we go back to 2016, and he made sure that, you know, that was a story that I had gotten to break. So I really
wow.
I appreciate that
That's
from
awesome.
Him, you know, made sure. And Rand Carthon, too, making that deal happen and, you know, yeah. just doing everything that he promised he would do as far as getting Simmons signed. I think that was really dope.
I mean, it's beautiful because if you look at the defense, what makes this defense go? Jeffrey Simmons.
Yep.
When we look at – go ahead.
No, exactly. He's what makes it go. But before we get into that football side, I think it's important because you look at, you know, we talk about the stories, right? And obviously, you know, Jeff coming here, there was a little background. I'm not going to get into it because it is the past. But one of the things that I always respected about Mike Vrabel is he said when a guy has some background, it's important to realize – is he a bad person that continues to make bad decisions and mistakes or bad decisions? Or is it a good person who made a mistake?
Right.
I think in the case of Jeffrey Simmons, it was a mistake, but he's a good person.
Yeah, but it's like getting to know the person. And, I'm gonna tell you where I had to learn that myself is when Kevin Carter – you know, the year we came off the Super Bowl, I think we got him, you know, and not in a trade, but picked him up. And the first thing that they kept saying was Kevin Carter was a bad guy. He didn't do things in practice. He was all about me and all this crazy stuff. But when he stepped on the football field, that was the total opposite. Maybe he did that in the past. Maybe he did that as a rookie. Maybe he did that earlier in his career. But what I saw on the field was a guy who was committed, a guy who loved the locker room, a guy who was coachable, and a guy who just loved football. So you can't go by sometimes what people say or even by the past mistakes. Learn from them what they do today. And I'm glad you brought that out, TD.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing, you know. And it's not just the mistakes that mold your character. It's the tough things that you have to go through. And that's why I love when – obviously, when they get drafted, you know, you hear the tears, and we'll get into that. But then you sign a deal like Jeffrey Simmons did. And just for him to reflect and really, like, understand what it is that he's able to do. As a matter of fact, look, I'm not going to explain it or even try to. Let's just listen to what he said when he got a little emotional about it. Here you go right here.
It's crazy. You know, I think, man, just from house to house, apartment to apartment, sharing a bed with my brother.
Wow. Wow.
Now we good. We, you know, this just not, you know, my kids' kids, you know, this generation wealth, as we call it, like, this is what I do it for, man.
Wow.
Every day I wake up.
Wow.
I just think about them hard times where I know my mom didn't feel like it. And for some time, I could be like, I'm hurting. But I think about my mom having to raise 5 kids on her own. And for me to say, I don't want to do this, you know, that's my motivation, my family. So, sorry about that, but man, this is, I'm grateful. I'm excited. I never saw myself wearing anything but the two-tone blue other than, you know, holding up a Super Bowl ring and a gold jacket. So that's the only thing I ever saw myself outside of wearing the two-tone blue. So, like I said, I'm excited, and the work just really getting started.
That right there is raw emotion. And, you know, I got chills when he said we're good. Like that.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
You know what's so wild is he never made it about him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. I ain't trying to get emotional. I'm not crying because he's crying, but he didn't make it about him. He made it about others. He said my mom, you know, where he had to sleep with his brothers in one bedroom and the mom had to get up and work. He made it about him, that his mom sacrificed. She did this. She did that. So what he did is, you said that perfect word, he had a time to reflect of all the pain and all the time he got laughed at and all the times he didn't want to get up and all the times that, you know, he didn't want to do these things. And even coming into the NFL, we got all the backlash when he made the mistakes and all the stuff that he went through. He had a chance to reflect that all that pain and all that sorrow and all that hurt and all that, you know, adversity that he went through. Now he's seeing the fruit of overcoming adversity. Man, beautiful, beautiful sight.
And that's what you have to love about
Yeah, man.
The way this has happened.
Yeah.
And it's just it was really good to see that. And, you know, when you have a guy like him who, you know, puts in the work, and a guy who, I mean, he was getting that ankle shot up just to, like, the man couldn't practice.
Yeah.
He was still coming out week after week after week. It doesn't get realer than that, man. I love the fact that happened. He got rewarded that way.
Yeah, but even that, not even this point. Just look at last year when they was talking about the contract. Even though he wanted his contract, he never missed being away from the guys. Even though he didn't practice, he was still there riding the bikes and said, even though my contract is not where I want it, I'm still going to be a team player. And it just shows you the character of a man by his actions.
Yep, exactly. And he's the first round pick since 2015. Taylor Lewan was the last guy to, you know, be selected in the first round that signed a second deal. So that kind of allows us to transition into this draft.
Yeah.
For the Titans' sake, I would imagine fans, the organization, they hope whoever they pick at 11 will make it to a second contract as well.
It's hard to make it.
When you look at that whole, I mean, give me two guys. Who do you think are the two that you feel would be best options for the Titans?
You know, I know the rumors have been talking about quarterback Will Levis or Richardson or all these quarterbacks. But if those guys are off the board, here's two guys that I absolutely love. Number one is Peter Skarnski from Northwestern. 6'4", 315, technician, physical, nasty, a guy that'll hit you in the mouth. Can I pick three?
Go ahead.
And then my second guy is Paris Johnson from The Ohio State University, 6'6", 310, athletic, you know, mean, long, physical, all these things. And then another cat from The Ohio State University, and that's Jackson Smith-Njigga from Ohio State. Run route runner, technician, guys who great plays. He might not be speedy like the other, you know, wide receivers, but he's a playmaker. He creates separation. He makes plays. And, you know, he locates the ball where no guys can locate the ball. So he just does a great job. So if I could pick three guys at the 11th position that I would pick, I would go with those three.
Yeah, no, those are good options. Those are definitely good options. I appreciate that. I'm going to agree with you on those.
What?
I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is a very intriguing option. And you look how, if you could get duos like tandems where they match really well, you chances are you'll find success in this league.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at some of these guys, I think you look at Treylon Burks. He is a guy that we know is looking to ascend to the number one receiver status.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool to have. I don't really get into like the number one or number two. I like just having, look, how do you guys work together? So with Burks, he's established himself as someone who can be a downfield threat, but he'll also work that play action, middle of the field, those type of things. But I think when you take
a prototypical X like Burks, and then you drop in Smith and Jigba, who I think he could play the slot. We know that, but I feel he could have an impact as a Z. So now you're looking at Burks, Smith and Jigba, a sure-handed guy who would get you yards after catch, always is where he needs to be, and catches the ball, a reliable target for your quarterback, and then you mix in Kyle Phillips.
Oh,
and by the way, you got Chig Okonkwo. I think now, you know, your offense is elevated.
Man, it is. But see, here's the thing. If you look at Jackson Smith and the Jigba, he's polished already.
Exactly.
So if you look at when he played the Rose Bowl last year, he didn't just catch the ball, you know, inside the numbers. He was outside the numbers in the perimeter also. So you can move him around. He's smart. He can do two and three positions. Just like you said, when they go a three wide receiver set, you know, a two by one or whatever, you know, you can put him in a slot on the two receiver side. You know what I'm saying? So it can actually work out. I mean, just imagine. Now, check this out, big dog. Just imagine they're on the two-receiver side, and you got Treylon Burks on the inside. I'm just saying, and Jackson Smith and the Jigba on the outside. And then come back and run the same formation and flip it. I mean, who are you going to double on that play?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. And let's not forget, you got 22 back there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And when you want to rev the engine up and drive it that way, you could do that too.
but the thing about it is, even in this draft, there's a lot of good receivers. I mean, not a lot, but there's some good talent out there. I mean, even the guy from Penn State, you know, Parker Washington. I mean, he's legit. He's not as big. He's 5'10", 212, kind of compact guy that can run after the catch. You got Josh Downs from UNC, 5'10", 180, not as big. But these guys are shifty. They run routes. They understand how to, you know, get guys off the spot. And that's what you need for the Tennessee Titans. You need explosive guys and impact players.
Yeah, I think here's my deal. I think Smith and Jigba gives you instant impact. Instant. There are select guys. Like,
say that again, please.
Instant impact.
Thank you. That's the key, what we need.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I you know I'm high on Tyler Scott. I feel he could come in and help. But I think the impact that Smith and Jigba get, like, now you have two guys who, if you want to, you know, put the number one tag on them, you could do that, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that makes Smith and Jigba a more of an intriguing option. And don't get it twisted. Zay Flowers is another one I really like. But I just feel like just the polish and the instant impact, you get that from 11, Smith and Jigba.
And the thing about it is, when you're coming in 11, you're not going to come in and learn. You got to come in and play right away. It's not like you're a quarterback and say, I can learn and sit behind a quarterback. Yeah. No. You're coming in and you're playing from day one. You're penciled in. You're not. You just come in and get your jersey number. It says starting lineup. You're up there. You got to get ready to play. And I agree with you 100%. Jackson Smith and Jigba is ready to play because I watched him. I watched his individual workouts. I watched him run routes, you know, in the Rose Bowl. Dude, he's polished, man. He might not be a burner. He might not take the top off the defense, but he's consistently getting behind the corner and the safety.
Yeah, and you mentioned getting the jersey number. Well, check this out.
Zero.
Number 11 is where they pick. It's the number he wears. And guess what? They need to work on making up for the loss of.
Yeah.
The original number 11 for that team, and that's none other than Arthur Juan Brown. How about it?
It'll be interesting, man. You didn't get that. You got to give me your top two, man. Well, who you got?
Well, I think Smith and Jigba is definitely one. I still look at the offensive line.
Yeah, me too.
I think Paris Johnson is going to be gone.
You like him better than Skaronski?
Skaronski. I do. I think he's more athletic and has higher upside, but Skaronski is so technically sound.
Yeah.
That's the thing with him. He's technically sound. But I just wonder how they're going to go about this. This is one of the tougher projections I've had to make as far as for the Titans. We'll see.
Well, say both of those guys are gone that we just named. There's another cat that from Georgia. He may not be as polished as those
Broderick
two guys.
Now,
how'd you know?
Because he's violent. I love, you see him get on the move and he's punishing people, at the second level. Or even, if they send the safety down and he's coming off the edge, he's going around and he's taking them out. So that's another one. I mean, there are so many. And we could go on and on about these, but I think, you know, given we gave about six different options. And
yeah.
The crazy thing is, out of those six options, there could be someone else. So that's the beauty of the draft, as you mentioned, as far as the uncertain.
I just hope they don't trade down. I mean,
wouldn't be against
it. Because maybe it's that the impact player that they don't want. But if they trade down and then lose that player, but we don't know who that player is, it could just get real interesting. But I know we're prolonging this thing, but do you think that the Titans should jump up to number three?
No.
And get one of, no. Thank you. Thank you.
No. Listen, and I've said it time and time again.
Oh.
49ers did that. You look at what it took, three first-round picks and a third-round pick, which was a compensatory pick. So, A, they traded out of luxury having that third-round pick that they wouldn't have had otherwise, but because they've done so well as far as the staffing is concerned. But then you also look at, this is a team, they went to the Super Bowl a year or two ahead of time. Does that mean? The roster is in really, really, really good shape.
That's
this Titans roster is in really good shape. You can't afford to lose two extra first-round picks in the future. You can't afford to do that because, remember, you also have had draft picks that haven't really turned out well because of different things in 2020. In 2021, right? Now, this class, I think, is going to be around for a bit and have some impact guys, you know, McCreary and Petit Ferrar and obviously Burks, Chig Okonkwo. But you just look at it, it's, long story short, to use the SAT word, it's not conducive to future success.
Yeah, man, but it's going to be – I can't wait to. But, man, but before we go, man – I was watching a boxing match, and it was two guys fighting. It was Leon Spinks and Larry Holmes. And my daughter's like, "Dad, I love watching boxing." She's like, "But the guy, Larry Holmes, looks just like TD." I'm like, "No, they twins."
Crazy you mentioned boxing, because I was watching a Mike Tyson documentary with my daughter.
Okay.
And they talked about when he saw this guy on the street, and he socked his eye. And the guy had a jerry curl. They showed his eye. My daughter was like, "Why you didn't tell me that your co-host Chris Sanders got punched in the eye?" It was Mitch Green. So there you have it. Always got to crack a joke on Chris when we end that segment, man. Appreciate Leonard Taylor, Cincinnati tight end, coming on, going through, you know, some of the stuff that has, you know, helped him get to this point. Excellent conversation there from him. Wish him the best going forward. Chris Sanders, man. He is a trip. So shout out to Forever Titans wide receiver there. Shout out to David James making this thing happen.
Always fun to be here.
Yeah, we keep this thing going. And above all else, man, shout out to each of you. Always, always got love for you guys. Got love for the love that you show. Definitely continue to check us out. And for those of you who are landing here for the first time, go ahead and subscribe. For those of you who don't know about us, you're going to know. Search Talking With TD on Google, Spotify, iTunes, everywhere you get your fine podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.